97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with my partner, Bo Matthews. Great to see you, my friend.
How you doing, buddy?
How's it going? And producer Chad Ellis in the studio as well. How you doing?
Hello, hello. How's it going?
Yeah, doing good. Got a great show on tap for you today. Also, right off the bat, want to remind folks that you can download our podcast. Many of you do that every single week, and we greatly appreciate that. You can download our podcast on the radio.com app or on the station website. I think the radio.com app is the best place to get the podcast. And we make those available on Fridays, actually before the show even airs. We make the podcast available. So if you're out and about moving around for the weekend and you want to take us with you because maybe you're going hunting or you're going fishing and you want to hear us talking about that before you go, you can download the podcast on Fridays. But now you can also download a second podcast, our podcast exclusive, our bonus podcast, every Monday. So it's two chances throughout the week to download podcasts of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. So if you've already been doing the one, bookmark the second one. Make sure you're getting them both.
And over the past weekend with the, you know, 60-something degree temperatures, I was out walking in my woods and I was listening to the podcast. It's just so convenient.
There you go.
Take it anywhere you want to go. Plus, the push notifications. Click on notifications because that'll alert you when new podcasts show up.
There you go. Yeah. That's the way to do it. And, of course, when you're on that radio.com app, you can download all the podcasts from all the shows here on the station and stream the station 24/7 and rewind live radio with the radio rewind feature on the radio.com app as well. So it's just a good little handy tool to have with you. Now, getting into today's show, we have a packed one for you. Here in just a second, we're going to talk to Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory, who we start the show with every single week. Also, our buddy Jesse from Razorback Armory is going to be in studio with us for the entire show. And we are going to talk to State Rep Nick Schroer a little bit later on in the show as well. And off the air before the show started, Jesse and I were having a conversation about the huge pot sales numbers that came out of the state of Illinois. They released how much money they made in January. And of course, now medical marijuana is legal in the state of Missouri. At some point, we're going to have to find a way to reconcile especially the medical marijuana with being able to purchase a firearm. We can't have people that have cancer and other medical issues that are getting prescribed marijuana by their doctors and then disqualifying themselves from being able to exercise their Second Amendment rights and purchase a firearm. That can't continue.
Right. Just like in Illinois, it's after, once you get the medical marijuana card, you cannot purchase after the fact.
Right.
And it's really kind of sketchy on whether you can even own a firearm.
Yeah.
So you've got to really know what you're doing here, especially if you're thinking, ooh, medical marijuana card, I'm going to go get it.
Jesse and I were in my office just a few minutes ago before the show, and we were really talking it out, and I was like, you know what, we need to stop.
Yeah, because save it.
We got to save it for the air, so we'll get you up to speed on where we were on that conversation and hear from a lawmaker.
Yeah, State Rep Nick Schroer, definitely knows something
who has
that.
Worked, watch me tie all this in, who has worked with Aaron Tarlow in the past on how to write a bill that makes this happen. That's what we always refer to as the Aaron Tarlow bill. So it all comes full circle right here on Second Amendment Radio. So let's bring Aaron into the conversation now. Aaron, how are you doing, my friend? Great to talk with you.
Hey, how are you?
So I know I have some other things I want to talk with you about before we run out of time, but did you want to quickly chime in on that situation, your thoughts on how to reconcile federal law and the fact now that in Illinois it's legal to buy marijuana for recreational purposes, and in Missouri for medical purposes. Something's gotta give, right?
Right. Yeah. Something's gotta give. You got people that are definitely gonna try to skirt the system. However, in Illinois, that's not gonna work. Just because they're gonna call the state police to do the background check. Missouri, it may work. We're not really 100% sure if Missouri is going to turn over the name or the names of those who've gotten the medical marijuana cards over to the federal government, then that would prohibit them by the prohibit them in the FBI system. We had our state rep on and last year, and we mentioned, why are we going to turn over any information to the federal government in regards to who's been issued a medical marijuana card? Just like your CCW permit, we won't give any information over to the federal government about who's been issued that. We need to do the same thing with medical marijuana. So Missouri's been pretty pro-privacy when it comes to firearms ownership. Who's got a CCW permit? So why don't we apply those same rules over to that, which would offer some, protections. However, you're still going to have to lie if you're an individual in Missouri on the 4473 to get a firearm.
Yeah, which is a felony.
It's
perjury, right?
Falsifying federal documents.
So again, once you open that can of worms, it gets a little scary, because some would say that opioids, if you are an opioids, can you go and buy a firearm?
Yeah.
Because
a lot of people want to take away your guns if you are prescribed Xanax,
right?
But
is there a gauntlet, the HEPA laws? Do they play a part in separating that data sharing between departments? And is that a good idea? Because there's more mental health issues going on possibly with somebody that's on opioids, whether it's for mental reasons or physical reasons. I don't know the answer, but I think, like I said, once you open a can of worms, it's going to get really, really dicey.
Yeah. So where do you draw that line? So right now, medical marijuana, it's not legal federally. So therefore, you're going to be giving up your firearms rights. Don't do it. The only way to rectify the state and the federal government's laws would be for the federal government to come out with some kind of rule that says, hey, medical marijuana is okay, or marijuana is okay, or hey, we're not going to regulate it. We're going to leave it up to the state.
On the form that you fill out to purchase a firearm, does it ask you if you have, or if you're a convicted felon, or does the computer system check that out automatically? Because if that information is shared with law enforcement, to what you're turning the paperwork into, that's data sharing right there. Do you understand?
Yeah, so the answer is yes. Have you been convicted of a felony? And then the system does look for your name. It's looking to see if you're prohibited.
Gotcha. What's happening at Southern Armory right now? We just had SHOT Show. After SHOT Show is the time that you see a lot of new things being offered by gun manufacturers, maybe new trends hitting the market. What's the hot item right now there at Southern Armory?
The Glock just released a 22 long rifle, and Ruger released a 5.7. So those are going to be the two hot items we're seeing right now. Everybody wants to get their hands on, along with suppressors. Everybody's jumping on the suppressor bandwagon again.
Are we still seeing those short wait times in getting back the paperwork?
Yes, we are.
That's fantastic. And you think, I know we talked a little bit about this last week, but do you think that that's going to go back to those long, 12-month waiting periods, or is this just going to be the way it is now, which is good for everybody?
Not 100% sure.
Yeah.
I love the shorter waiting times, obviously, right? You get your device a lot quicker. I think once they start opening up the electronic filings a little bit more, where it becomes kind of more of a norm, then we will see the wait times shoot down even more. So just need to embrace technology and add more people.
Good stuff. And before we lose you, Aaron, what else is happening at Southern Armory with CCW classes, advanced pistol classes, everything happening there at the store?
Yeah, so we still have firearms classes going on. The firearms training simulator is still getting rented out, so if you've never used that before, you should come in and use it. The weather may be horrible outside, but you can come in there and it's nice and dry and warm. And, you know, you're not going to have the crowd to contend with that you would.
There's always bad guys to shoot, zombies to shoot, or even balloons to shoot, right?
Absolutely. You can have multiple shooters in there. We've had bachelor parties. We've had...
Yeah, that's cool.
With their kids in there. So it's a very unique experience. It's memorable. And you just have to try it. Let's just say that. So Southern Armory is located 1 mile east of 27844 at 9901 Watson Road and southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
That's where it's at. And, of course, you can also follow Southern Armory on Facebook, Second Amendment Radio on Facebook. And Aaron's very active there as well with live streams and answering questions and all that good stuff. So make sure you check out the website and make sure you check out the Facebook page. Aaron, always great talking with you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, yeah, looking forward to it. And you guys have a good, safe rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
Week.
You do the same, my man. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, we are going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Jesse from Razorback Armory is in studio with us, and a little bit later on, we're going to talk to State Rep Nick Schroer as well. A lot to talk about on Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Don't go anywhere. He's trying to keep us both happy.
I think so.
I'm going to throw a bone to Tones. I'll throw a bone to Bo.
We'll find out what Jesse's music genre is.
Right, exactly.
Granddaddy's Gun is another great Blake Shelton song. By the way.
We can do this off the air.
No, I'm just
back.
For future reference.
I got it.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Tony Colombo, Bo Matthews, producer Chad Ellis in studio. And as I mentioned in the last segment, joining us in studio for the rest of the show is our friend Jesse from Razorback Armory. And since Jesse's here, of course, this segment is sponsored by?
It is sponsored by Razorback Armory, your gun concierge. They are a phenomenal artistic gunsmithing place. You will never see anything like it in all of the St. Louis metro area. It will be your favorite gun store. Go to RazorbackArmory.com on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270, and it's on the south side of the road. Just look for the word tennis. You'll find Razorback Armory right next door.
Yeah, and Jesse, thanks for coming in. Thanks for being in the studio with us today. Great to see you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys, having me.
Yeah, we were just talking to Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory. I'm going to start this by asking you the same question that I asked him a couple weeks ago with SHOT Show, and I know that's a big deal in the gun industry. It's kind of like when the automakers roll out their new lines for whatever the year. So, like, you know, it's 2020 when Chevy and Ford and everybody rolls out their new stuff for the new year. It's kind of what SHOT Show is for the gun industry. Some new items are introduced, new products. It sometimes kicks off new trends. What, if anything, is the latest trend that you're seeing at Razorback Armory or hot items or anything like that? Is there something that seems to be catching on right now that wasn't real hot before?
Yeah, SHOT was a lot of fun. Industry Day, got to shoot a lot of cool guns. You know, it is what you said. It is for the vendors that we're going to put product out to the public to show us what's new, what's exciting, what, you know, what they're bringing to market. And new stuff like that, there's some new pistols coming out. SIG's got a really, really neat cross rifle, bolt action rifle that's coming out this year. They're kind of billing this year kind of as an AK year. There's a lot of variants coming back out for AK to kind of compete and kind of go up against the AR marketplace. Suppression, there's a host of new companies rebranding, companies coming out with a newer can to get in the marketplace, kind of regain some market share so it's not stagnant for them. But there's a lot of neat products. You'll see them all on our shelves here. As soon as they fulfill my orders, you'll see them on the shelves. We'll be able to talk about them, touch them, play with them, you know, kind of inform everybody and see if it's something they're into.
Yeah, and you know, Bo just mentioned something in the spot there that I find really interesting. Being a fan of, so my favorite type of firearm for just personal protection is the tiny, you know, the LCRs, or, you know, the tiny guns that I can keep in my pocket that I don't have to clip to anything. I don't feel like it's taking up a bunch of space. I don't feel like it's creating, you know, a bulge on my hip that's showing everybody that I've, and something that can be dangerous with those types of guns is if you don't have them properly protected. And there's, Bo mentioned gun safes, but there's also just like sleeves Absolutely. That lock the Yeah. guns and all of that. Talk about all those different ways to protect your firearm Sure. from others and from accidents.
So, I mean, from a carry standpoint, like you're talking about, you want to carry a firearm with you and you want to have like there's a product called Sticky Holster. It's a sleeve, but you can wear it, appendix carry, middle of the back, you know, 4 o'clock carry. It guards the gun and the trigger. So when you're putting it in and out of your pants, you're actually not grabbing the trigger, you're grabbing the grip. So you're hopefully not going to have an accidental discharge. And then when you get home with that, if you've got kids or you just want to make sure that your firearm is secure in your home, there are small lock boxes, which you don't have to buy a huge gun safe. It's a nice small lock box. You can do a combination or a key. There are some biometrics with a fingerprint. And you can slip it in there, push it down, lock it up. You know that it's safe and you can be in your home or your car or wherever you want to have that.
And the beauty is that they're not really that expensive.
No,
tells me that the companies that are making these lock boxes, if you want to call them that, is they really are about personal safety.
Sure.
They really are. Now, you mentioned the SHOT Show. Were you at SHOT Show this year?
So I go every other year. Brad, my business partner, was there this year.
Ah, dang it.
Well, Vegas has a moratorium on me every 2 years. They only want me every once in a while.
Okay.
We meet with our vendors, actually, and do our stocking dealer orders before SHOT Show. It used to be you did everything at SHOT Show.
Right.
And now we're preloading all that. I'm doing that stuff in December. So then we get to go out. We already know what we've already bought. So we get to see those guns. You know, Brad got to shoot pretty much every SIG item imaginable. Some other manufacturers that we wanted to look at, see the quality of their product. On range day, you just walk up, show them your badge, and you get to shoot that gun. And you get a lot more feedback than just a rep coming and showing you a gun in your shop.
And to the point that Tony's compared it to the automakers, you know, the auto show debut, mm-hmm. they Absolutely. Talk about concept vehicles. Do they have concept items out there?
Yes. So you have to be careful about what you tell your clientele, because a lot of the stuff that we're seeing, it might not hit the marketplace for a year. So you don't want to, hey, I got this great gun, I'll have it in 2 months. No, I won't. It'll be a year off.
Yeah, I still don't have any flying cars. So
yes. And now the industry has gotten to a point where they kind of tell you, hey, this is fourth quarter.
Yeah.
This is coming out later, but you know, like the Expo, the cross rifle from SIG, that's third, fourth quarter. But they put it out there, mm-hmm. and you start getting your feelers on it. So if you know somebody's looking for a really awesome lightweight rifle from SIG, which is new for them, I mean, they've had rifles in the past. They don't have bolt action rifles now. Somebody will wait on that purchase until it comes out.
Yeah.
But new guns, Aaron mentioned the 5.7 Ruger. Yes, that one's coming out. The Glock 44 has been an incredible seller for us. I've got 6 shipments already that have already gone. I mean, they hit, they leave, which is a neat rimfire. The beauty of it, it's a Glock 19 size, mm-hmm. but it's 22. So your holster, your mag pouches, everything that you may have for your 9mm Glock works with this 22.
Yeah.
But if you want to get your kids into it and you've got a younger, you know, somebody who's smaller, you don't want that 9mm recoil, mm-hmm. it's much more manageable. But everything you teach about gun safety, you know, gun, you know, etiquette, everything will transfer over to as he gets older and he wants to shoot a Glock 19.
Smart.
It's
identical. That's really smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
They really came in nice on that.
Do you guys go through seasons at Razorback Armory, like with hunting seasons mostly being over now, are people purchasing different types of firearms? Are they in the market for different items than they are maybe like right before deer season gets here? Are people buying rifles? Are they getting geared up for that? And then, like, what season are we in right now?
Right now, hunting season's pretty much over.
Yeah.
You'll find people that, ducks, I get a lot of duck guns in now for cleaning, for thorough furrow, scrub down.
Well, that's a great point.
Put back out.
That's a great point. If you're done with hunting season for the year, and you've had that gun outside and
dunked,
in the weather.
In the pit, in the bottom of the pit, and nasty stuff. Trust me, I get it every day.
Yeah, bring them up to Razorback and get them cleaned.
Yeah, so we see that. Right now, as far as the season, beginning of the year is kind of weird. New products that they introduced, people are asking about. Some of them are available, some of them aren't. Being as cold and as nasty as outside right now, people, the shooting's kind of in the back of their mind. It's not forefront. When we get those warm days, then that kind of sparks that off of their mind. And one of the questions we ask people when they come in is, well, okay, you're looking for this gun. How did you see yourself shooting it? Well, I was doing this. Okay, then we kind of get them in that direction of those guns that they're looking at, you know. So it's your idea. It's your thought process on the purchase, and we try to fit you with, you know, possibly a new gun, possibly a gun that's been in existence. Suppression for us is a 24/7, round the clock. There's no suppressor season because of the wait times and different things. So that just always happens. But you'll see handguns get real popular, you know, more sales, and then you'll kind of see that go off a little more shotgun, then it goes back into rifle. But the main consistent is service and repair, and then we fill in with whatever you're interested
in. Chad, are you looking at it right now? Are you looking at that SIG rifle?
Yeah, the Crossfire. Yeah,
yeah. Cool. That does look pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, that's
Chad's over here looking at a YouTube video, and I'm like, what is he watching? And I'm like, dang, that is... That's hot.
It's like got the pistol grip, but I'm trying to understand, like, how do you like actually hold it?
It's a traditional rifle, so it's a bolt action. It does have a stock and more of a pistol grip style like an AR, but it's going to be a longer range platform. So if you wanted to shoulder it like a traditional rifle or put like a bipod and sit on a bench, but they've got a brand new SIG caliber coming out for it, which is proprietary to SIG. They're going to have it in 6.5. They'll do 308 and that, but... that's for long-range target acquisition. I mean, you're not shooting 25 yards. You're shooting, you know, 100, 200, out to 1,000, 1,000-plus. And that's a different shooter. It's a different discipline of shooting. It's something that they enjoy. But that rifle is super lightweight, incredibly accurate from everything we can tell on it. And we did get to shoot one, you know, have one out there. It's going to be a neat platform.
You were talking about seasons. I think this is a great season to get into your gun range and get more familiar with your handgun, whatever your personal security gun is. I just think it's so great. It's inexpensive to go to a gun range. Find your favorite. What's the one on South Gravois that in the city that has a barbecue restaurant next to it?
Sharpshooter.
I've done that. I went there the day their restaurant wasn't open. But the other thing is when you're thinking about wanting to purchase a suppressor, you and I had a conversation on the phone a few days ago, and you said it's different time frames for people that are wanting a suppressor, whether it's a company that is wanting to register, it takes longer. Is that correct?
So, yeah, right now with the federal government, quick, easy way of doing it, there's three ways to register for your suppressor. As an individual, you can do it as a trust or an LLC.
Okay.
Trust and LLCs, we're still seeing time frames going 10 to 12 months. It can go faster, but I'm going to tell you it's a 10 to 12
month.
On the individual side, it can go shorter. Our big thing with that concierge service is we're fully digital. I do your fingerprints, your photographs, LE notifier, everything in-house, you don't leave, goes into my digital system. So once we input everything for you, literally the hardest thing you do is you just pick the can. Once you pick out the suppressor you want to do, we have that conversation, make sure it fits your application. We go through all that and set up your account. Once I have your account set up, I don't have to go back and load any of that in. I update your photograph every 12 months if you are purchasing suppressors. I don't have to do it if you're not.
Right.
But if you want to purchase, that's a secure database with my partner company, Silencer Shop. Our kiosk system, and you guys have been in the shops, you see, you know, all the little mechanisms and stuff, so we walk you through it. But we take everything out of your hands that would be confusing and walk you through it and make it as simple and as easy verbiage as we can. So nothing spooky, you know, and just kind of lay it out for you. So you're a part of every step and you understand what's happening in every step.
Yeah.
If we could just get the government to speed up their steps.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of the government, that is Jesse from Razorback Armory. We are about to take another break. Jesse is sticking around for the rest of the show and going to stick around for our podcast exclusive this week. So make sure that when you download the show's podcast, you are now also downloading that second podcast that we are making available for you every week on the radio.com app and on the station website. So don't miss that. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, I want to talk about some of the influences that lawmakers and the federal government and the state government have on Second Amendment rights, particularly with the explosion in Illinois of the recreational marijuana sales and now it being legal medically here in the state of Missouri, and how we can reconcile that with federal laws. Before we break, though, tell people exactly where Razorback Armory is and how they can learn more about the shop so they can get out there and check you guys out.
We're at 12072 Manchester Road in De Pere. We're, like Bo says, we're on the south side of Manchester, about a half mile from 270. Look for the tennis shop. He's not kidding. We're right next door to the tennis shop.
Look for the word tennis.
And if you see the tennis shop, we're right next door. Come on in. You know, ask us. Tell us what your favorite gun is. Ask us any questions you want. We're more than welcome to help. We're always fine. You can always find us too, RazorbackArmory.com, and you know, you get directions, all the good stuff from there too.
Great stuff, RazorbackArmory.com. Jesse's going to stick around, and we're going to talk to State Rep Nick Schroer when we get back, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo and Bo Matthews here with you, along with producer Chad Ellis. And Jesse from Razorback Armory is in studio with us for the entire show and going to be sticking around for our podcast exclusive. Don't forget, you can download the podcast of this show. We make it available actually before the show even airs. Every Friday, you can download the Second Amendment Radio podcast. And on Mondays, you can download our podcast exclusive. So two podcasts for you each and every week. A lot of you have been downloading the show's podcast on a weekly basis, and we greatly, greatly appreciate that. It means a lot that support really does a lot for us. And now if you want to download that second podcast, you can do so. So we really appreciate all the support that you guys have been giving us. Also, now joining us on the phone for the rest of the show is the busiest man in the state of Missouri, Newsmaker Nick. State Rep Nick Schroer is back on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Great to talk with you, State Rep Schroer. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great after a crazy couple weeks. Business is picking up, and I'm excited to join you.
Yeah, I want to get into some specific questions, you know, about Second Amendment rights and how they, you know, trying to bridge that gap between medical marijuana and recreational marijuana and the federal government. We've kind of talked a little bit about it on the show leading up to this. I want to get your thoughts on that. But Second Amendment radio, gun related or not, what is the biggest things happening in the Missouri legislative session right now?
Well, I will tell you, this past week we had a bill come through. I know in the Constitution, the amendment was passed on the ballot, requires for employees of these, I guess you could say the conglomerate, so to speak, all the different businesses associated with medical marijuana. By way of the Constitution, we have to do a state and federal background check. So a little bit of legislation started moving forward, enabling us to team up with the FBI just for the employees. Well, I found out that that was a great spot to put my bill, which almost made it to the governor's desk, which would protect legal medical marijuana users and applicants from getting that information, HIPAA-protected information, into the hands of the feds, which would also protect their Second Amendment rights. So that should be hitting the House floor within the next week or two and then go over to the Senate. But you're also hearing in the news, too, all of the individuals that did not get a license, whether it was a manufacturer or, you know, the little shops that you'll see, the little head shops, so to speak. A lot of those guys are going through the appellate process or going to court. So even though we're very close to the big rollout where medical marijuana will start, you know, to be sold in the state of Missouri, we're not going to hear the last of these guys that are, you know, are kind of whether they're butt hurt or they think that they actually have a good, you know, a good cause for getting their license. And I know that there is some legal issues, which we could dive deep into, but there are some legal issues as to the way that the company is a third party. It wasn't Department of Health and Senior Services, but there was a third party that was used to grade these applications. And some of these applications, And there's some theories as to why this happened, but a lot of these applicants would have 3, 4, 5 applications filled out the exact same way. And we've seen that a lot of these applications, which were exactly the same, were graded entirely different. So there's going to be some arbitrary and capricious arguments that are going to go in court. So, you know, where you might not have thought a shop would have gone, whether it's, you know, a manufacturer or whatever the other shops may be, you know, in the next couple months, we might see some other licenses coming out.
For the states that have gone before Missouri with the medical marijuana and the Second Amendment right laws, do you look at those them as an example? Do you use some of the information or no?
Well, you know, we've looked at this on Second Amendment Radio a couple years ago. Well, I guess it was a year and a half ago when we knew medical marijuana was coming. And the other states just try to throw up a simple blockade saying, you know, on a state level, we're not going to allow the feds to come in. And we've seen in different instances, not just medical marijuana or Second Amendment stuff, that really hasn't worked. So the only way that the feds would be able to act and strip individuals in the state of Missouri their Second Amendment rights would be if they had that information. Now, if this bill were to pass, if my piece of legislation were to pass, which would put a blockade in place so the feds couldn't get that information, legally speaking, if they were to go to court and a court were to grant them a subpoena, if that was tried and appealed and it still was upheld, eventually, yes, they could gain access to that. But I'm not going to wait for the feds to act. That would be the ultimate decision, is if the feds would, you know, declassify, reclassify marijuana, since over 30 states have legalized it in some way, shape, or form. But it is still illegal on the federal basis. And on the 4473, you're still not allowed to get a gun if you use or have been prescribed medical marijuana.
So it's a great point. Over 30 states have legalized it in some way. Illinois just released their numbers the first month of recreational marijuana being legal in the state of Illinois, and they made $40 million off the revenue in just the first month. Obviously, that'll probably level off at least a little bit, but even if it were to cut in half, you're still talking about $20 million a month being made by that state. And here in the state of Missouri, medical marijuana is here. Recreational marijuana could be right around the corner. We'll see if it gets on a ballot or not. That's a whole nother discussion. But either way, Jesse, something's going to have to give on one side or the other. We can't have states continuing to legalize marijuana and a federal government that says, even if you're prescribed this medicine by your doctor, we're going to limit your Second Amendment rights. Absolutely. What is it right now on what does the form exactly say right now? And do you have any thoughts on how we can go about fixing this issue?
So it does say if you are a habitual user in anything of a narcotic, and basically if you're prescribed a medication now, be it an opioid or, you know, Xanax, something, you are okay to still purchase a firearm.
Yep.
Okay. They kind of leave that to
For
you.
For me, that's where marijuana should go. And it should go in that same
absolutely
column as Xanax.
If you're prescribed.
Prescribed Xanax, right.
By a medical physician, you know, you've done the medical card, you've done everything, then it is a prescribed medication. You know, as the gentleman Nick told me, though, too, it's right now, even if in the state of Missouri we're going down that path, you get your medical marijuana card legally, you purchase your marijuana. Right now, if it was today, you got to check the box. You can't have a firearm.
Yeah, and I know you're not, your store's not in Illinois, but yeah. I would imagine that if you are in Illinois right now, that if you were to admit that you just were at the dispensary buying marijuana, and then you tried to go to a gun store in Illinois and purchase a gun, you would either have to lie on the form,
yes,
which is a felony, or tell the truth on the form and not be able to purchase a gun.
Not get a firearm, yes. And their system is a little bit different. They have 4-week cards, a little bit different purchase process.
Right,
there.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
yes, you are
system.
Correct. And I don't know this 100% factual, but what I've understood over there is you will no longer get guns going forward, but they're not actively saying that they're going to come take firearms from you because now you're a marijuana user. I think they look at that as a case by case if you're doing something where you needed firearms taken from you. But in Missouri, though, they can expand upon that. As of right now, if you check that box, no firearm.
Right.
If they were to get a variance or somehow be legally able to change that if it's prescribed to you, that you would still be able to have firearms, purchase firearms, keep your Second Amendment rights.
So, Representative Schroer, the first step that you're trying to take, and clear me up if I'm wrong on the interpretation, is basically just getting that question removed from the form, right?
So that's going to be on the federal level. So okay. Even though we can't reschedule it, you know, deschedule it on the federal level, since we are state legislators, the federal government is still somewhat treating this as a 10th Amendment issue because we are choosing to license it, you know, go the medical marijuana route. However, the selective enforcement of them coming into states, previously they were coming into the state of Missouri to, you know, act on this, you know, federal law, which says medical marijuana, legal marijuana is still illegal. The only way that we can really, you know, stop them from coming after us, you know, if they were to find out that, you know, Tony Colombo is a medical marijuana user, he also has guns. The only way we could stop them from coming after those Second Amendment owners, so to speak, would be to not give them that information. So that is the only thing we can really do, since we can't change that. That would have to come by way of the feds. We've communicated with our senators and our congressional leaders to try and change it. But as you've seen over the past couple of years, they can't even pass a bowel movement without much scrutiny in D.C.
So let me ask you this, because when I call to make an appointment for a physical at my general doctor, I actually had the question from the person taking my appointment or making the appointment say, you need to bring in a list of your medications. I'm like, right. I'm not on any. What do you mean? Well, if you were on, and I guess there's a confusion of what you're trying to do, Nick, is you're trying to make it that it's not even part of the form, that you're not even asked, are you on medical marijuana or are you on prescribed opioids or anything like that? You are strictly wanting to keep it on the state level as not sharing that information, correct?
Well, in a way, I think that, you know, when we have people that have been prescribed legally, whether it's Xanax or anything for anxiety, depression, yeah. You can have guns legally and keep those, even if they're suicidal side effects, which a lot of our former military members have indicated. Look, we take these medications that's prescribed to us for PTSD. I have suicidal tendencies. I'm trying to get off of that, and I found medical marijuana helps. I can keep my guns with these suicidal tendencies, and we've seen with the rates of suicide in our veterans and first responders, it's ridiculous. But then they come over here and have a medication which helps them, does not make them suicidal, and the federal government saying that you can't own guns, you can't keep guns to protect yourselves and your family. I think it's asinine. I think what I'm trying to do is just say, until the feds act, we're just not going to share this information on who has even applied for these medical marijuana cards, because then again, they could come after you. Right. So we would just try to keep that information out of their hands. Now, eventually, yes, I would love to see the 4473 changed. I would love to see marijuana...
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo and Bo Matthews here with you, along with producer Chad Ellis, and Jesse from Razorback Armory is in studio with us for the entire show and going to be sticking around for our podcast exclusive. Don't forget, you can download the podcast of this show. We make it available actually before the show even airs. Every Friday, you can download the Second Amendment Radio podcast. And on Mondays, you can download our podcast exclusive. So two podcasts for you each and every week. A lot of you have been downloading the show's podcast on a weekly basis, and we greatly, greatly appreciate that. It means a lot that support really does a lot for us. And now, if you want to download that second podcast, you can do so. So we really appreciate all the support that you guys have been giving us. Also, now joining us on the phone for the rest of the show is the busiest man in the state of Missouri, Newsmaker Nick. State Rep Nick Schroer is back on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Great to talk with you, State Rep Schroer. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great after a crazy couple weeks. Business is picking up, and I'm excited to join you.
Yeah, I want to get into some specific questions, about Second Amendment rights and how they, trying to bridge that gap between medical marijuana and recreational marijuana and the federal government. We've kind of talked a little bit about it on the show leading up to this. I want to get your thoughts on that. But Second Amendment radio, gun related or not, what is the biggest things happening in the Missouri legislative session right now?
Well, I will tell you, this past week we had a bill come through. I know in the Constitution, the amendment was passed on the ballot, requires for employees of these, I guess you could say the conglomerate, so to speak, all the different businesses associated with medical marijuana. By way of the Constitution, we have to do a state and federal background check. So a little bit of legislation started moving forward, enabling us to team up with the FBI just for the employees. Well, I found out that that was a great spot to put my bill, which almost made it to the governor's desk, which would protect legal medical marijuana users and applicants from getting that information, HIPAA-protected information, into the hands of the feds, which would also protect their Second Amendment rights. So that should be hitting the House floor within the next week or two and then go over to the Senate. But you're also hearing in the news, too, all of the individuals that did not get a license, whether it was a manufacturer or, you know, the little shops that you'll see, the little head shops, so to speak. A lot of those guys are going through the appellate process or going to court. So even though we're very close to the big rollout where medical marijuana will start, you know, to be sold in the state of Missouri, we're not going to hear the last of these guys that are, you know, are kind of whether they're butt hurt or they think that they actually have a good, you know, a good cause for getting their license. And I know that there is some legal issues, which we could dive deep into, but there are some legal issues as to the way that the company is a third party. It wasn't the Department of Health and Senior Services, but there was a third party that was used to grade these applications. And some of these applications, and there are some theories as to why this happened, but a lot of these applicants would have 3, 4, 5 applications filled out the exact same way. And we've seen that a lot of these applications, which were exactly the same, were graded entirely different. So there's going to be some arbitrary and capricious arguments that are going to go in court. So, you know, where you might not have thought a shop would have gone, whether it's, you know, a manufacturer or whatever the other shops may be, you know, in the next couple months, we might see some other licenses coming out.
For the states that have gone before Missouri with the medical marijuana and the Second Amendment right laws, do you look at them as an example? Do you use some of the information or no?
Well, you know, we've looked at this on Second Amendment Radio a couple years ago. Well, I guess it was a year and a half ago when we knew medical marijuana was coming. And the other states just try to throw up a simple blockade saying, you know, on a state level, we're not going to allow the feds to come in. And we've seen in different instances, not just medical marijuana or Second Amendment stuff, that really hasn't worked. So the only way that the feds would be able to act and strip individuals in the state of Missouri their Second Amendment rights would be if they had that information. Now, if this bill were to pass, if my piece of legislation were to pass, which would put a blockade in place so the feds couldn't get that information, legally speaking, if they were to go to court and a court were to grant them a subpoena, if that was tried and appealed and it still was upheld, eventually, yes, they could gain access to that. But I'm not going to wait for the feds to act. That would be the ultimate decision, is if the feds would, you know, declassify, reclassify marijuana, since over 30 states have legalized it in some way, shape, or form. But it is still illegal on the federal basis. And on the 4473, you're still not allowed to get a gun if you use or have been prescribed medical marijuana.
So it's a great point. Over 30 states have legalized it in some way. Illinois just released their numbers the first month of recreational marijuana being legal in the state of Illinois, and they made $40 million off the revenue in just the first month. Obviously, that'll probably level off at least a little bit, but even if it were to cut in half, you're still talking about $20 million a month being made by that state. And here in the state of Missouri, medical marijuana is here. Recreational marijuana could be right around the corner. We'll see if it gets on a ballot or not. That's a whole nother discussion. But either way, Jesse, something's going to have to give on one side or the other. We can't have states continuing to legalize marijuana and a federal government that says, even if you're prescribed this medicine by your doctor, we're going to limit your Second Amendment rights. Absolutely. What is it right now on what does the form exactly say right now? And what are you, do you have any thoughts on how we can go about fixing this issue?
So it does say if you are a habitual user in anything of a narcotic, and basically, if you're prescribed a medication now, be it an opioid or, you know, Xanax, something, you are okay to still purchase a firearm.
Yep.
Okay. They kind of leave that to
For me, that's where marijuana should go. And it should go in that right. same
absolutely
column as Xanax.
If you're prescribed,
prescribed Xanax, right?
By a medical physician, you know, you've done the medical card, you've done everything. Then it is a prescribed medication. You know, as the gentleman Nick told me, though, too, it's right now, even if in the state of Missouri we're going down that path, you get your medical marijuana card legally, you purchase your marijuana. Right now, if it was today, you got to check the box. You can't have a firearm.
Yeah, and I know you're not your store's not in Illinois, but yeah. I would imagine that if you are in Illinois right now, that if you were to admit that you just were at the dispensary buying marijuana, and then you tried to go to a gun store in Illinois and purchase a gun, you would either have to lie on the form,
yes,
which is a felony. Mm-hmm. Or tell the truth on the form and not be able to purchase a gun.
Not get a firearm, yes. And their system is a little bit different. They have FOIA cards, a little bit different purchase
right,
process
right,
there.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
yes, you are
system.
Correct. And I don't know this 100% factual, but what I've understood over there is you will no longer get guns going forward, but they're not actively saying that they're going to come take firearms from you because now you're a marijuana user. I think they look at that as a case by case if you're doing something where you needed firearms taken from you. But in Missouri, though, and they can expand upon that, as of right now, if you check that box, no firearm.
Right.
If they were to get a variance or somehow be legally able to change that, if it's prescribed to you, that you would still be able to have firearms, purchase firearms, keep your Second Amendment rights.
So, Representative Schroer, the first step that you're trying to take, and clear me up if I'm wrong on the interpretation, is basically just getting that question removed from the form, right?
So that's going to be on the federal level. So even though we can't reschedule it, you know, deschedule it on the federal level, since we are state legislators, the federal government is still somewhat treating this as a 10th Amendment issue because we are choosing to license it, you know, go the medical marijuana route. However, the selective enforcement of them coming into states, previously they were coming into the state of Missouri to, you know, act on this, you know, federal law, which says medical marijuana, legal marijuana is still illegal. The only way that we can really, you know, stop them from coming after us, you know, if they were to find out that, you know, Tony Colombo is a medical marijuana user, he also has guns, the only way we could stop them from coming after those Second Amendment owners, so to speak, would be to not give them that information. So that is the only thing we can really do, since we can't change that. That would have to come by way of the feds. We've communicated with our senators and our congressional leaders to try and change that. But as you've seen over the past couple of years, they can't even pass a bowel movement without much scrutiny in D.C.
So, and let me ask you this, because when I call to make an appointment for a physical at my general doctor, I actually had the question from the person taking my appointment or making the appointment say, you need to bring in a list of your medications. I'm like, I'm not on any. What do you mean? Well, if you were on, and I guess there's a confusion of what you're trying to do, Nick, is you're trying to make it that it's not even part of the form, that you're not even asked, are you on medical marijuana or are you on prescribed opioids or anything like that? You are strictly wanting to keep it on the state level as not sharing that information, correct?
Well, in a way, I think that, you know, when we have people that have been prescribed legally, whether it's Xanax or anything for anxiety, depression, you can have guns legally and keep those, even if they're suicidal side effects, which a lot of our former military members have indicated. Look, we take these medications that's prescribed to us for PTSD. I have suicidal tendencies. I'm trying to get off of that, and I found medical marijuana helps. I can keep my guns with these suicidal tendencies, and we've seen with the rates of suicide in our veterans and first responders, it's ridiculous. But then they come over here and have a medication which helps them, does not make them suicidal, and the federal government saying that you can't own guns, you can't keep guns to protect yourselves and your family. I think it's asinine. I think what I'm trying to do is just say, Until the Feds act, we're just not going to share this information on who has even applied for these medical marijuana cards, because then again, they could come after you.
Right.
So we would just try to keep that information out of their hands. Now, eventually, yes, I would love to see the 4473 changed. I would love to see marijuana rescheduled. You don't have to deschedule, but reschedule it, since we actually have evidence, whether you agree with it or not, that it does have some medical properties to it. But at this time, I think that this is the only move that states can make, is just not sharing this state information with the feds.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we're just about out of time here on the show, but we are going to continue this conversation on the podcast exclusive. So again, you can download the show's podcast on the radio.com app or the station website. And now you can also download a second podcast every week. And that's where we're going to continue this discussion. Before we go, State Rep Nick Schroer, how can people follow you and everything that you're working on in Jeff City?
Yeah, if you want to look at the 900 bills that I filed this year, go to house.mo.gov. Look me up. You can find Second Amendment bills that I'm sponsoring. If you want to find out, you know, the different trolls that are attacking me, follow me on Twitter at Nick B. Schroer. Go to nick4rep.com.
Good stuff. And Jesse from Razorback Armory, one more time, how can they find you guys?
Razorback Armory, 12072 Manchester Road in De Pere, right next to the tennis shop. Come on by.
Great stuff. And RazorbackArmory.com, yes, of course. Thanks for everything you do for the show. Thanks for sticking around. Make sure you download both podcasts on the radio.com app, and you come back and you check us out here every weekend, every Saturday at 3 on 97.1 FM Talk, and every Sunday at noon on Camo X. Thank you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. For my partner, Bo Matthews, and our producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening. See you back here next weekend.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.